Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this wonderful opportunity we have to be here at Thy house and the opportunity to worship Thee. Mindful of the fact that where two or three are gathered together in My name for the purpose of worshiping Thee and worshiping in spirit and truth and putting away the cares of this world, Thou art in the midst of them. Be with us, we pray, in the midst. We know that Thou art omnipresent. We know that Thou art in all places at all times, and Thou art everywhere. But at the same time, as we ask Thee to be with us, we ask Thee to manifest Thyself in our midst and guide us and direct us in worship, especially that Thy servant may preach Thy word in power and demonstration of the Spirit, and Thy people may hear and understand, and we all may use what we hear this morning in our lives to better serve Thee. We thank Thee for the church. We pray that Thy richest blessings will be with her, that she would grow and prosper in every way that would seem good in Thy sight. And now we ask Thee to forgive us of our sins, and all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. As you know, I've been trying to preach a series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit, and there are nine qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord being my helper this morning, I want to preach on the ninth of those qualities, and that is the quality of temperance, the subject of temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is love and all those others, but this last one, the fruit of the Spirit, is temperance. And by the way, again, I'll remind you that the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And a number of years ago in my study, I haven't been able to find it lately, but I do know that I found it in maybe sources I looked at that I don't have today or whatever. But the fruit of the Spirit is the product of the Spirit. Just as an apple is the product of an apple tree, then the fruit of the Spirit, those nine qualities, are the product of the Spirit of God in our lives. And that is, the Holy Spirit has produced temperance within us. That is, the ability to manifest temperance in our lives. And when people can see our lives and realize that we are temperate, then that means that that's when it is fruit. That's when we're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Temperance means to be strong. For instance, that's one of the definitions, by the way, of this word temperance. The temper of metal. I've watched, when Catherine's not there and complains about it, a show on Wednesday night about, forge and fire, about people that make knives and other sharp instruments, whether they be axes or hatchets or swords or whatever they may be, out of steel. They take different kinds of steel and they forge it, they melt it down, they weld it together and so forth, and they make some very good tools there. I can say that. Well, it doesn't matter whether one likes it or not. The fact is that they have to, it has to be temperate. That is, that I remember years ago when I said something about there was a fire and I put a hole in that fire and someone said it would lose its temper. Well, they have to put it in the fire and then they do what's called quenching it. They put it in, I guess it's oil. I'm just not really sure about that, but they put it in liquid and that tempers it and that makes it strong. If the metal is indeed strong, then that will make it strong. And so, remember again, it's the temper of the metal, the strength of the metal. And so temperance means to be strong. We are to be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we find these words, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he goes on to say that we are to put on the whole armor of God. But again, I remind you of this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so we're to be strong in the Lord. We have a certain strength, and more about that in just a moment. But temperance also means self-control. Now that's very important. Temperance also means self-control. And that is, we are to discipline ourselves with the strength that God has given us. God has given us strength. Because we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'll tell you about that word power, and I've said it before, I'm pretty sure, but it's translated from the Greek word, which is dunamis, and from which we get dynamite. And you know, without my saying so, that there are more, even though there are more powerful substances than dynamite, dynamite is a very powerful substance. And that's why they say it comes in small packages. But listen, and that's the kind of power that we have, the very power of God. We are strong in the Lord when we put on the whole armor of God. And I remind you again, we are strong in the Lord when we put on the whole armor of God. Now, let me remind you again, temperance means self-control. And we can control ourselves when we are strong as we ought to be. Now, and self-control is something we need in every part of our lives. Now think about the fruit of the Spirit as a whole. Those nine qualities that make up that. You may remember that the first quality that's mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit is love. And listen, brothers and sisters, the command of love was, to paraphrase that, we're to love God with all that we have, and then we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then Jesus said concerning this, and three different gospel records, he gave three different messages concerning those two commandments that were given in all of them. And that is, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. That is, all the law and the prophets are under these two, or in the umbrella of these two. Love God with all that we have, and the second, love our neighbor as ourselves. And so that is a bit, and so I can't think of a part of our lives where love should not be manifested in one way or another. And then we go to the end of it. There's temperance, and since it means self-control, there is not a part of our lives in which we should not exercise a level of self-control. And so it's like love and temperance are bookends, or big bookends, to the rest of the other seven qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit. And so, my brothers and sisters, again, self-control is important in every aspect of our lives. There are things that we do not need. One of the things we do not need is we do not need alcoholic beverages. I don't know whether any of you use them or not. I would have no idea that you use them in a way that would be sinful. Let me just put it that way. But we don't need that. I thought years ago, a number of years ago, that if a person just used alcoholic beverages in moderation, then therefore that person was temperate. And I can say that to some degree. And yet at the same time, a person can be a teetotaler and just totally leave off the drink or consumption of alcoholic beverages and be temperate, because temperance means self-control. There are other drugs, and whether those drugs are legal or illegal. You know as well as I do, you may know some people, as I have heard of some people that you don't know anything about, and I haven't heard anything about them in years, but they're relatives of mine, and that's all I'll say concerning that. They live in a distant city from here, but in a city where I've never lived before. But this the third cousin of mine had a wife. She got hooked on prescription drugs, painkillers, that is. She told her husband, I'm going to quit this. And so he felt real good. Then he found out she was going to one doctor and another doctor and another doctor and another doctor and get each of them to prescribe these painkillers for her. And when this doctor prescribed the painkiller, she would go make the rest of it. When this doctor prescribed painkillers, she'd go to City Drugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in other words, each doctor and different pharmacy, getting them. Now, I don't think you can easily do that today, because there are things on computer and internet and so forth, and there are ways that can be checked. But that's what she was doing. So her husband just decided that he would just simply give up. And so, of course, there are illegal drugs also. Let me say one thing about one form of illegal drug, and that's marijuana. I don't know what you think about that, but I'll say one thing about this. There are many people, as you know, to feel like we should legalize marijuana. I'm going to say one thing concerning that. Whether it's legal or illegal, you know as well as I do that people are going to get it, they're going to find it, some are going to sell it, and some are going to use it. But now, be that as it may, let me say this, and that is that if a mother is carrying a child and uses marijuana, that child can have brain damage. Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's how dangerous, that least dangerous of all the drugs is. And so we need to remember that, at least for our own self. And tobacco, in all forms. And smoking tobacco, we can have cancer anywhere from our lip down to the bottom of our lungs. And other diseases also. In smokeless tobacco, we can get cancer in the mouth and whatever. So that's something that, again, we need to certainly exercise a certain amount. We need to be temperate in that. All right. There are things we need. Food. It can be overused. I'm a prime example of that. I've told people before that if I weighed 3 more pounds, that would have been the first number in my weight. I got on the doctor's scale and that's exactly the weight that I had. And I thank the Lord, as you can tell, I don't weigh that much now. I've lost a good bit of weight, but now I weigh too much. Still, too much. But the food, we need a certain amount of food. We need to watch there. We need a certain amount of drinking. We need to be temperate in what we drink. Now, water is very important. We need that, and I've seen printed. I wish I had this. Wish I'd saved it. All kinds of things that we can avoid, all kinds of physical problems or physiological problems that we can avoid just by simply drinking water. Now, that's a hard thing to do, but there are other things we like to drink. And I'm not saying it's evil to drink those things, but we need to be temperate in that. Exercise is something we need to be temperate in. We need to make ourselves exercise some. You know that I'm diabetic. When we were in Mitchell and I would be serving in school, I would, while the students had their work, and always, as you know, that they just simply did their work and were polite little angels, as they always are, as I was when the substitute teacher came in, but I would walk back and forth just to get a little bit of exercise, just to burn a few more calories so I can keep my sugar down. Exercise is important in our lives. And then rest, we need a certain amount of rest. And then the material goods. We need to be temperate in those things we have. There are other parts of life where we should exercise self-control or be temperate. That, of course, driving down the highway. The tongue. And the first scripture that I will read to you is found in Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. This is concerning the tongue. And there is much about this in the Epistle of James. And I won't get there today. But in Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, we find this. Now, this is hard doctrine. Some of the time, that is to speak evil of no man, even when they're going 20 miles an hour in front of you on two lane road, and you can't pass, you're still to speak evil of no man. To be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So the idea there that we are to bridle our tongues, as it says over in the book of and the Epistle of James. But I'm going to say one thing. We're to bridle the tongue in what we say and the way we say it. Sometimes we may need to say things that some people may not want to hear. And yet, but how do we say it? Do we say it in love? Do we say it in kindness? Do we say it in gentleness, and which is also, as you may remember, a part of the fruit of the Spirit. So they're all that. So it's important what we say and how we say it. And in the places we frequent, we may, there are times that we may have to go someplace we had rather not be there. And yet there are times, but we don't want to do that very often. And then if you will, look with me in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. Again, the book of Leviticus, chapter 11 and verse 44. And this verse of scripture reads, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, if you look at that latter verse of Scripture, the latter part of that verse of Scripture tells us what's under consideration there. First of all, that notice what he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the word holy, when it says, be ye holy, and the second line, when it says, for I am holy, for God is holy, I thought surely it's translated from a different Hebrew word. But both of those usages that when holy appear in that verse of Scripture are translated from the very same Hebrew word. And I think it's found again repeated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, because I have a note there. But anyway, in the New Testament, it's also mentioned, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, and the word holy there, that's translated from the Greek language, but the word holy when it says, be ye holy, and holy when he says, for I am holy, are translated from the very same Greek word. So, now I know, you know by experience, I'm sure, that we cannot be as holy as God. And we're not going to be as holy as God. But now, notice what he says here, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, ye shall be holy. Now, we'll stop right there and say, one thing I read in my regular Bible reading in Deuteronomy this morning is, God says, I brought you out of Egypt. You are a holy nation. And with this in mind, in this context, and I'll get back to it in just a moment, but what he meant by that was that I have separated you from the Egyptians and all their ungodliness, all their false gods, and so forth. I have separated you from that. I called you out of that. I brought you out of the wilderness. You are separate from other nations. And he told them when he went into the land of Canaan, separate yourselves from the Gentiles. Your sons are not to marry their daughters. Your daughters are not to marry their sons. Now, because they're ungodly in a variety of ways. And he told them, if you do, then they're going to influence you, and you're going to start some of their evil practices. And guess what? They did. That is, they did marry them, they did influence them, and they followed some of their evil practices of the nations that were driven out before them. All right, now notice what he says in this verse of Scripture. Ye shall therefore, because I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Alright, the word sanctify means to set apart. I'll remind you again, we call this a sanctuary. It is set apart for the worship of God. And we rightly call it sometimes, or we can rightly call it the sanctuary. It's not just some big word, but it means something. You shall sanctify yourselves, that is, separate yourselves from this. And then he says, with that in mind, ye shall be holy, and that means separate. For I am holy. That is, I am separate from the evil and the ungodliness of this world. And so, that's what's under consideration there. And that is, that is being separate. Being to separate ourselves from the ungodliness of this world, that is being separate. Alright. God gave us an explanation of temperance or self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is found in, as I've mentioned, earlier this morning, Galatians chapter 5. And that's in verses 22 and 23. What I want to read is found in Galatians chapter 5. After that, the last three verses of the chapter, verses 24, 25, and 26. Again, Galatians 5, verses 24, 25, and 26. And they read, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and be not desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Alright, so, and notice what he says, they that are Christ, they that are manifestly Jesus Christ. That is, that if people can see us, and see that we belong to Jesus Christ, and are different from some in this world, then we are manifestly His. It is rather obvious to others that we belong to the Lord. Now, those that are manifestly His, that is, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And that is a difficult thing to do. Let me say this. This is one thing I thought when I was trying to study. That is, I think about it often. Concerning John the Baptist, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Again, it's referring to John the Baptist. But that was a man. He wasn't an angel. He was a man that, well, it says concerning Elijah the prophet, he had like passions as you and those in New Testament times. Alright, so there was a man. He was a man. Has the same temptations and so forth. Knows that he's a sinner. There was a man. But this was not just any man. This was a man that was sent from God. That is, a minister of the gospel is a man that was sent from God. That is, that though he has like passions as you, he's called of the Lord, separate from men, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's sent from God. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. Did you know the word John means gift? And I use that extremely lightly, referring to myself, but the ministry of the Word of God is a gift to the church. I remember Brother George Daniel said that if there was a man that was a pastor of a church, and then the church, another church over here who was calling a pastor, they felt led to call the pastor of this church. They felt like that pastor of that church was God's gift to that church. And they would write the church a letter first and asking them if it was all right for them to call their pastor as their pastor. Now, because they considered it, the pastor of the church, they considered it a gift. And that's what we're to be, brother and sister. But again, the reason I mention that is, listen, we as ministers of the gospel, we are sinners. Well, I know that the Word of God, once or twice maybe, and maybe more than that, calls us angels because we are messengers of God. And that doesn't mean that the angel as we generally think of, without sin, without any flaws, etc. But we are the messengers of God. But we are sinners just like all the rest of us. We have the same temptations as the rest of you. We fail sometimes just as the rest of you do. If we are Christ as we ought to be, we have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And I want to tell you, by experience, brothers and sisters, that's difficult. He goes on to say, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And we walk in the Spirit by walking in the commandments of God. We are not to desire vainglory. Whatever we do, we are not to desire vainglory. Now, something was mentioned at the gathering of the saints meeting last weekend about the transfiguration, that Jesus all of a sudden light began to shine through his face and through his garments and everything. And we mentioned that there's a way that we can show forth Christ that is in us in that same way. And I won't go any further than that. But if I could do that, I would get up here sometimes and say, look what I can do. And I do that. Well, I tell you, and that would be seeking vainglory. And that's not what we're to do. In regard to what our service to God or anything we do to the churches, to or for the church of Jesus Christ, certainly is not to be for vainglory. We're not to provoke one another. That's easy to get provoked sometimes. And we are not to envy one another. You have some things that I don't have, but I'm not to envy those things. That's covetousness, by the way. Alright. Now, I want to give you some hard doctrine. And that is for every one of us. Found in Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. Again, it's Luke chapter 14 and verses 26 and 27. And these are the words of Jesus, by the way. And he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And that's hard doctrine. Now, I'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. It says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, those are the words of Jesus. Well, they're in the Word of God. Luke wrote those words down by inspiration of God. These are the words of Jesus, but whether Jesus said it or not, it's part of the inspired Word of God. Now, first of all, it says, hate not family members. And he mentioned those, and I won't go into those again. The word hate. One of those, I'm not supposed to hate Catherine. The rest over here, you're not supposed to hate your parents, your children, and grandchildren and all of that, family members. You're not supposed to hate them. But the word hate It's translated from the Greek word, and one of the meanings of that is to love less. Now think about this. Remember the two great commandments? One, love God with all that we have, and that's a paraphrase, of course. And then two, love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, if we can't follow, if we hate, literally hate in the way that word means, our children, our parents, and our spouses, and et cetera, then if we hate them, then we'd be disobeying that command. So hate means to love less. I love my parents. My daddy's gone on to be with the Lord. I still love my dad. I love Catherine. We love our boys. We love our two grandchildren. We love our two daughters-in-law and one future daughter-in-law, which is a little less than a month from now. We love them, and we'll always love them. They're very special to us. I love my siblings. I love our spouses and their children, etc. I love all of them. And yet, at the same time, as much as I love them and as much as they mean to my life, I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters, I'm to love the Lord more than I love them. And that's what the truth is concerning this. Now, and we're not only to love our own lives, we're to hate our own lives. Now, let me say concerning this. Remember that second commandment? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We are to love ourselves. Some people sometimes don't seem to love themselves, so they do things to hurt themselves. Well, that's not loving ourselves, but we do take care of ourselves, and that's the way we love ourselves. But listen, I'm to love myself less than I love the Lord. And then he goes on to say, we must bear our cross. Now, what is the cross? Well, it's that piece of wood that intersects one with the other. Historians say, some of them, that it was more like a T, or the Greek letter tau. I'm not sure about that. That's not the important thing, but whether it was like this, or something else, then Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus suffered greatly for us, and shed his blood, and redeemed us from our sins there on the cross of Calvary. We are also to bear our cross. That doesn't mean that we're to be crucified, but there are two pieces of wood, whether it's like this or like this, that intersect one another, and it's like the two natures we have. We have a spiritual nature, and we have a fleshly nature, and these constantly are at odds one with the other. The spirit lusteth against the flesh, as Paul wrote, and the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And so there's always, there'll never be that complete harmony there. There'll always be at odds one with the other. And we are to do what we can to crucify the flesh, as we read in Galatians 5 just a few moments ago. We're to crucify the flesh, and that's what it means to bear the cross. Then, if we do these things, then we can be Jesus' disciples. And that, brothers and sisters, is temperance. That is, putting everything else secondary to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what temperance is. Now, temperance means, I'm not sure if I express this correctly, but anyway, temperance means yes and no. We must say yes to the commandments in the Word of God. We're going to obey the commandments that are found in the Word of God. And we must say no to the prohibitions that are found in the Word of God. And so, brothers and sisters, when we do, that's temperance. It means to be strong. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God that we might fight against the wiles of the devil. And when we're strong in the Lord, we are to exercise self-control. Now, those not born of the Spirit cannot do that. But those of us that are born of the Spirit, we can exercise a degree of self-control. And the Lord help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.